This is part two of a two-part podcast. If you'd like part one, you'll find it at personallifemedia.com. This program is brought to you by personallifemedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only. Sex, Love, and Intimacy is sponsored by Audible. Classics, bestsellers, business books. Download your free audiobook from over 40,000 titles. Sign up for your risk-free trial at audiblepodcast.com/love. Join today. Cancel any time in the first 2 weeks and keep your free book as your gift. You're going to love being an Audible listener.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today, on today's show, we're going to continue an interview we started last week with Celeste and Danielle. They have a website, they teach, they are sexologists and teachers, and we're going to be talking today about couples and maybe a little bit about singles and a little bit about dating, but really about relationship. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Dr. Danielle Harrell, is a clinical sexologist, a pleasure activist. I love that word, pleasure activist. I'm going to put that on my card, a pleasure activist, and a professor at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. She has devoted the last 14 years to counseling and empowering couples, women, men, and groups. She graduated with a PhD and a Doctor of Human Sexuality degree from the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco. Danielle has a graduate degree in clinical social work and a bachelor's degree in psychology and educational counseling. Celeste Hirschman has made her a lifelong study of sexuality, intimacy, and relationships, both inside the classroom and outside of the classroom. She's currently an assistant professor at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where she teaches the Sexological Bodywork Certificate Training. She received an MA in Human Sexuality Studies from San Francisco State, where she worked as a researcher at the Center for Research on Gender and Sexuality.
Many people do actually choose immediately, but usually when we choose someone, it's not necessarily the right person for us. It's a person that is familiar to what we are used to, and many times we didn't have a successful relationship before, or the way relationship were demonstrating our household as children weren't so successful. So we many times can actually make mistake if we just go with this like first impression about someone. That's why we have some dating period to really see who is this person and what is there about them that we connect with and click, because building a life with someone is way more complicated just like falling in love with them.
I really want to distinguish between in love and love, because that beginning part where you're in love and the other person is perfect and you're perfect and the sex is perfect and everything is going great, like that's a fantasy and it's a beautiful fantasy, and I say enjoy every moment of it. Love is where you begin to see that they are not perfect and you think, okay, is this somebody that I can hammer it out with? Can I actually do the work with this person? Are they going to meet me in this work? Are they going to be present? Am I going to be present? Do our broken places meet up in good places or really, really bad places? That's when you begin to see, can I love this person in the long term?
People kind of like get together and connect with each other and they become life partners, and they forget that this partnership is very different than the energy that we need in order to be sexual with each other. Because as life partners, we have, you know, we're a team. We kind of like, we negotiate things, we talk about things, there's lots of logic involved in it. But when we talk about sex, we talk about passion and desires, and we kind of like talk about dichotomy of forces. You know, we need a man, we need a woman, or we need seduction, we need other energies that play in this field. Many couples kind of forget that that needs to be recreated in their relationship.
Welcome to the show, Danielle and Celeste.
Thank you.
Thank you.
when last we were talking, we were talking about orgasms and about how to be a better lover and things like that. And listeners, if you didn't catch that show, go back and look at my episode page, personallifemedia.com, or look at your iTunes store and just look for their names and my name, and you'll find that episode. But I want to talk today a little bit more about relationship. And so I want to start with the singles process and then kind of move into the couples process. And I want to say to listeners, I think there's a beauty in the single life, but I have a bias. And so listeners, I think you know this because you listen to my show. So, you know, there is an extraordinary life journey to all kinds of possibilities when we are in committed relationships that just don't show up. I always feel like I can spend 7 lifetimes in a monastery studying the texts and studying the tracts, or I can spend 1 lifetime really in a real relationship, and that's about the same amount of wisdom there, you know. So I want to talk about the single life, but I'm kind of talking about that part of the single life that leads us to relationship. That's all sort of my long preface. And so I kind of want to talk about, like, how does one date today? I mean, where do you even, you know, great, so I'm single, maybe I'm newly single, or maybe I've been married and now I'm suddenly looking at the dating world again, and I don't want to repeat the mistakes of the marriage that I just ended or the long-term relationship I just ended, but how does one do this? Where do you begin?
Yeah, I almost even want to start back from there and sort of not really where you start to look for someone else, but like how you actually get in touch with yourself and what you want. Because I think so many people begin that process from a completely mental point of view. They start to make some kind of a laundry list. I want this characteristic, this characteristic. They look on the internet like they're shopping for soap and they think, oh, I want it to make me smell good in this way or that way. I mean, they completely miss the point that when you actually sit with somebody and you feel yourself and you feel into them, that's how you know if you want to be with them. And so first you have to feel yourself. And so what we call embodied dating is where you actually feel the experience that you're having with the other person, not planning off into the future. We love to go into future thinking with dating. It's the first thing we do. Is this my handsome prince? Is this my beautiful princess? Are we going to live happily ever after? Every fairy tale tells us that's the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is to actually feel with somebody in the present moment. And you start immediately, or at least you can, although most people don't, you can start immediately feeling people in the present moment by being in your body in the experience, feeling, how am I reacting to this person? What kind of future things am I projecting onto them? Because when you first meet somebody, you don't know anything about them. So you need to, you know, step back and sort of see, what is it that I'm looking for based on these projections? And who do I really want? Who makes me feel really good in my body and with myself? And why? That's how you begin the embodied dating process.
I get a little... I have that moment of, I get afraid of, I notice I can have instant rapport with almost anyone. And so I personally have this experience. My listeners have heard me say this before. I walk around pretty much falling in love with everybody I meet, just everybody I meet. You know, I have these moments at the supermarket where the checkout person was just so adorable. And it's not actually even sexual, although often it's somebody that I can imagine as a sex partner, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, you know, like I have this amazing love relationship with my 2 garbage men. Now we're not going to have sex together, but we're brothers, we're friends, we're pals. But I notice also how often I'm misled, that I have that embodied sort of something has moved. But then when I get to know the person better, I actually begin to see that isn't really a person I could build a life. You know, it's a really nice connection, but it's not a person I can build a life with. So how do I know what to trust and what not to trust in that embodiment and in those signals going back and forth?
So we have this fantasy that we know immediately. And many people do actually choose immediately, but usually when we choose someone, it's not necessarily the right person for us. It's many times a person that is familiar to what we are used to. And many times we, you know, maybe didn't have successful relationship before, or the way demonstrating our, you know, household as children weren't so successful. So we many times can actually make mistake if we just go with this, like, first impression about someone. That's why we have some dating period to really see who is this person and what is there about them that we connect with and click. Because building a life with someone is way more complicated, just like falling in love with them. And that's the myth that we are, you know, all think that if they just able to just complete the song that we're singing, like in the movie Enchanted, you can actually, they're going to be the love of our life.
Yeah, I really want to distinguish between in love and love, because that beginning part where you're in love and the other person is perfect and you're perfect and the sex is perfect and everything is going great, like that's a fantasy and it's a beautiful fantasy. And I say enjoy every moment of it, but do not pretend that that means that you two are compatible partners in the long term. Love is where you begin to see that they are not perfect and you see all their flaws and they see all yours and you think, okay, is this somebody that I can hammer it out with? Like, can I actually do the work with this person? Are they going to meet me in this work? Are they going to be present? Am I going to be present? You know, do our broken places meet up in good places or really, really bad places? That's when you begin to see, can I love this person in the long term?
I notice a lot of people start these days, you go to match.com or you go to JDate or you go to, oh my God, the list is endless. You know, I don't actually need to do ads for all those people. There's no end to computer ways to do this. And what I see people do is, having all this data about the other person, they begin at the, well, let's find out if we're sexually compatible. You know, like that. So it's like, well, you know, that's all I need to know because I know everything else about you. So how do you feel about all that and about what goes on in the computer dating world and all that stuff?
I think that's exactly what I was saying at the beginning. It's like, you cannot figure out whether you're compatible with a person based on some list of things that they're going to put on a website. Firstly, that's, you know, it's marketing. It's like, you're trying to seduce somebody with all of your best qualities. You may not even be telling the truth. You may not even know you're not telling the truth. You know, the person that you're looking at, like, they may really think they are those things. And when you sit across from them, they're actually not interesting or engaging at all, you know? So you have to see how you feel with them. And, you know, that's why I think one of the problems with internet dating is that you've got the photo and you think, oh, I'm attracted to them, I'm not attracted to them. And there's no energetic moment there. You know, you might find somebody out in the world and you might look at them. I know I've met people for the first time and I've thought, that person is not attractive to me at all. And then I have an amazing relationship with them because energetically we completely click and we have all of this intensity. And by the end of, you know, the first week of actually being together with them, I think they're the hottest person on the planet. It's that, you know, it's that energy that really creates connection. So I think find some people to go out on dates with on the internet, but also just, you know, go out in the world, go to parties, ask friends, you know, for places where you can meet other people. I think those are probably much more effective ways to do it.
Another wonderful place is to go to places that you love doing things and find people that love the same things that you like doing. If you like running, go for a run, find someone while you're running and say hi to them. Go to a biking club, you know, find people that are interested in what you are interested in. Then it's a place where you can really bring your passion, because if you are passionate about something that you're doing, you can actually show up as a passionate person, and that's a good starting point.
Well, and I get that. I say this to clients all the time. If you meet somebody that's doing an activity that you love to do, and they're doing that same thing because they love to do it, now you have two points of commonality, not just the one. It's not just that I looked and thought they were attractive. I looked, I felt some level of attraction, and I know we at least have this one area of commonality, which is an interesting place to begin a friendship, to begin to build a relationship with. Without seeing that on paper isn't quite the same thing. You know, it's the experience of being in our passion that has us really see how people are. Okay, I'm dating, I'm out there, and here's the thing that I hear men say and women say all the time. Men say to me, it doesn't pay for me to be a gentleman. The bad boys get all the girls, you know, these guys that treat women like shit, and then the women hang on them. And women say the same thing to me. Women say, look, unless I'm willing to just be a total slut, the guys aren't interested in me. You know, they take me out on one date. At the end of the date, if we're not making out and heading back to one of the apartments, I never hear from them again. And so there's a disconnect. You know, it's sort of like when people tell me what they want, they say, well, I, you know, I want this life partner. And then how they seem to behave is that if I behave like a really gentlemanly person, or like a, you know, like with manners, like with, you know, like, then I'm not going to get a second date. So what about all that?
Yeah, so I can't speak as much to the woman slut thing because I think that's very complicated. Whether men want women to sleep with them on the first date or not is very complicated. And it's a really difficult place for women to negotiate because there's this whole like sort of virgin whore dichotomy that we're still dealing with. But for men, it's simple. Women want nice guys who fuck like assholes. And they will put up with assholes because they want that kind of fucking, okay? But that's not what they want. They want somebody who can really be there and be present and be connected with them. But if the guy cannot come through when it comes to like really bringing his sexual energy and really bringing his power in bed, then she's not really going to be interested. And you begin to emit that information immediately upon the first date. She can start to tell what kind of lover you're going to be by how you come across. So it is possible to be a nice guy and fuck like an asshole and to have that come across right at the beginning. And that's what we teach in our men's workshop.
Okay. I want a little clarification on fuck like an asshole. Okay. Just a little. I think I know what you mean, but could you say that in different words?
Yes, I always do in the workshop, you know. I know it's a little bit glib, but I want to make a point. It's just that women want men who actually... So here's the thing about jerks or assholes. It's like, they don't really care about women. So they are really, they're like, oh, they put their own desires first and they go out and they try to get what they want. Now, women want nice guys who actually care about women, but also are connected with their desire and go after what they want. And so finding that combination is like the most attractive, beautiful balance. And so it's not like being a mean guy or a bad guy. It's like really owning your desire and going after it in bed. And it's not like, can I kiss you? You know, oh, will you turn over, please? No. It's like, take me somewhere. I want to be taken somewhere.
Also, unfortunately, because women's relation with sex is usually not a positive one, women don't have permission to really connect with their sexuality and want to have sex. So this approach, like a guy who really confident one, it takes them to their sexuality, helps them loosen up and feel like they can really go there and unfold layers of their sexuality more freely.
So I think I'm hearing a distinction here between being nice and being neutered. That, you know, that nice is about actually listening and actually being present for the other person, but there's no part of nice that has to require actually checking my balls at the door. That I think that's the thing I'm hearing here. I also am noticing that the clock is ticking, so I want to take a break here. Listeners, I have lots of great offers for you. If you actually go to the episode pages, if you go to personallifemedia.com and go to the Sex, Love, and Intimacy episode pages, you'll see that I've got offers from Audible and offers from ice.com and offers. I've got a new client right now, Adam and Eve. They've got like 18,000 different sex toys and lingerie and movies, and many of the things on the site are up to 50% off. So please check the website, look for the offers, look for the offer codes, and listen to these messages because there's lots of good stuff for you. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
At BetterSex.com, we hear about love lost and passion cooled every day. Our job is to bring the heat back to your love life. So here's a tempting free offer to introduce you to BetterSex.com. For free, get the Better Sex Video Series 3 DVD set, a $29.95 value discreetly shipped absolutely free with any purchase of $59 or more at BetterSex.com. Just use promo code HEAT, H-E-A-T. Real couples and experts take you and your lover on an erotic education, enhancing intimacy, opening dialogue, and overcoming inhibitions. Watch it together, free, with promo code HEAT at BetterSex.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to Celeste and Danielle. They are teachers about sexuality. They are sexologists. They are sexological body workers. They are, oh my goodness gracious, they've got quite the set of credentials, but really they are experts in love, intimacy, sexuality, and how to enhance those things. And before the break, we were talking a lot about singles, and I want to kind of shift this conversation to couples, because as I say, for me, the sort of single is this transition state until I find this partner or partners and try to build a life with them. And I think for most of us, and certainly for most of my listeners, that's kind of, that's either the life we're leading or the life we're hoping to lead. We're wanting to find the partner that we can build a life with, maybe create a family with, certainly create a lifetime partnership with. And I don't want to exclude people who have multiple partners that they do that with. It's perfectly fine, but it's still that same desire. It's that goal to create a life with lifelong companionship, with lifelong connection, with lifelong sexuality. And what I notice for couples is, great, so they go through this whole singles thing where they feel all this embodied sexuality and eroticism, and the sex is good, and the connection is good, and the communication's good. And if you check back in with them 5 years from now, they're not really having sex, and they're not really communicating really well. So first, what do you think happens? And then second, what can we do about it?
So you describe it very well, Chip. We get many, many couples in our practice coming and complaining, and the main complaint is like, we don't have sex anymore. And that's the most prevalent complaint. And what usually happens is that people kind of like get together and connect with each other, and they become life partners, and they forget that in order to, this energy that needs the partnership is very different than the energy that we need in order to be sexual with each other. Because as life partners, we have, you know, we're a team. We kind of like, we negotiate things, we talk about things, there's lots of logic involved in it. But when we talk about sex, we talk about passion and desires, and we kind of like talk about dichotomy of forces. You know, we need a man, we need any women, or we need different kinds of male and female energies in the, if you know, for people who are same sex partners. And we need the seduction, we need other energies that play in this field. And many couples kind of forget that needs to be recreated in their relationship. And if you just wait for this to happen, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it, that there's sort of like, we expect everything from our relationship, and it's hard to balance domesticity and the sort of arrangements and agreements around a household and kids and all those kinds of things, and passion and desire and distance and learning and changing. And a lot of times when people do kind of settle down, they get used to each other, and they think, you know, my partner's just going to be like that for the rest of their life. And they never even ask each other the deeper questions, like, you know, what do you think, you know, what is your spiritual belief system? What, you know, they don't really allow for the fact that there's dynamism even once you get together. I mean, I think it's really interesting. Usually people don't even ask couples, like, once they're married, like, how's your marriage going? Everybody just expects that it's great, you know, and then everybody just stays the same and lives happily ever after. But people are changing and they're feeling things. And so if you can actually, like, I think one of the reasons people don't want to ask what their partner's feeling is they're afraid. What if they've changed and they don't want me anymore? What if they're different than I thought they were? And, you know, so they get into this complacency and avoidance. And when you really start to open up to each other again as a couple, and you start to see, oh, wow, there's a lot of person in there that I don't even know, then that creates a little bit of the distance and a little bit of the mystery and a little bit of the, like, passion comes back. And you, like, feel like, oh, I have to dive, you know, back across that distance and get them again and feel them again and touch them again so I can feel that connection. And I think that's, you know, that's where the stagnation happens. Yeah.
So when we approach couples, we usually invite them to look at the places we are stuck in now, you know, no sex, as an opportunity to develop a new language. And actually, we invite them to look at sex as a playground, as our adult playground, where we can really play things that we don't dare to play in other aspects of our life. We can really share and expose and invite our partner to see parts of us that we don't allow ourselves to bring in other parts of our life. So if we are, for example, very dominant when we go to work, we can be very surrendering and gentle when we go to bed, and we can play different kinds of aspects in our of what we can be, you know, like kids play as if, and they want to be a doctor, they want to be a horse or a doggy and all kinds of stuff like this. That's the time to play. So sex is an invitation to deepen the way we know each other and deepen what we can do with each other.
And yet I noticed that I talked to a lot of adults. They didn't really play as kids. They didn't, you know, that. So what you said made a lot of sense. And then I think, oh my God, how many of my clients come to me and they didn't do it then. So they don't really know how to do it now. How does an adult learn how to play?
Yeah, it's like that old saying, it's never too late for a happy childhood. It's like you sometimes you do have to relearn how to play. And we start out, you know, with playfulness and with the body. And we move with people in their bodies to like find that place inside of themselves. It's a natural place. I mean, bear cubs to do it. You know, everybody plays. And if people have been really adultified in their early lives and they haven't had that opportunity, there's somebody inside there who really wants to come out and play. And when you see that person come out, it's like it opens up their sex life. It opens up their intimate life, and you know, and it can even open up their work life or their creativity or what they want to do with their lives.
So okay, so I'm finding maybe I'm finding that inner innocent who can play. I'm trying to keep my relationship going, but right away the trying part gets a little weird, you know, because when we, it's like you can't try to have an orgasm, you know, you can't try to have fun, you know, those things, the trying gets in the way of the fun. Is there, how do I say this exactly? What I see a lot of couples do is they begin to fantasize or actually act out outside of the coupleness as a way to bring energy back into the coupleness. I mean, that's really, it's not like I'm mad at you, I'm going to go have an affair. It's more like I feel dead. I'm going to go find some place that I feel alive in the hopes that I can bring that life back in. And my experience is it gets pretty disastrous, you know. What's the alternative?
Well, definitely if you do it non-consensually, it can be pretty disastrous. Some people, you know, do it as a life choice, and that's wonderful. But, you know, in order to start, like, working on your relationship and, you know, playing with your relationship, I prefer this phase, you really, you need to some level to bring yourself to some level of, you know, vulnerability, you know, saying something about who you are and what you want for yourself. And many couples don't do it because they're afraid to be judged and not loved and rejected. And, you know, we always see in couples, someone is holding this gouge of no sex and someone is like wanting all the time sex. And we know who does who, but even though, you know, it's not clear cut. But it demands, you know, some level of vulnerability and say, hey, I actually been fantasizing about this and this, and I want to try and play with it with you. And many, because the setting of domesticity and the setting of sex in our culture, we do need some work on it. And this fantasy is just going to happen if we just wait for it. It's probably not going to happen. We need to create it.
I also have to say that I often encourage couples, don't try playing these things outside of your own bedroom. The very habit of where and the time and the, you know, like, so every Wednesday and every Saturday we have sex, and it's always after the kids go to bed, and it's always, or it's, you know, or it's every Sunday, whatever the pattern is, and it's always in this bed, and I know she likes this position, and I know I like that position, so it's always this position. And I just remind people that, like, when you have a favorite restaurant, you don't stop eating at every other restaurant on the planet. You know, you don't just decide, well, I'm always every Saturday night going to eat at the same restaurant. Even if it turns out it is your favorite, you still occasionally try other restaurants. And so I really encourage people, try different rooms, try different, you know, go to a motel, go to Santa Cruz for the weekend, go, yeah, so.
I was just going to say, humans are extraordinarily habitual creatures. And so much of what we teach people is how to get out of their habits.
And also, in order to really orchestrate this playfulness, we do need something to schedule, you know, like the same way you want to get into your favorite restaurant or second favorite or third favorite or exclusive new restaurant, you probably want to make reservations. So people kind of like this idea of, you know, like spontaneity. Spontaneity happens when you actually create some framework for it. And then you can start playing, you can start planning, you can maybe buy a new outfit, maybe you can reserve a room in a hotel, maybe you want to go to, you know, like a public place and dance a little bit before, and then you can make a whole new game that, you know, instead of just rolling and say, hey, you want some sex, that's not a seduction line.
And I just want to say, listeners, that one of the reasons you'll notice some of the sponsors that I have is because actually that's all stuff that my partner and I, one of the things we do is we go toy shopping. You know, one of the things we do is we go take a walk a little bit on the wild side. We decide not to act like a staid married couple that's been together for 13 years and instead act like a couple of wild horny teenagers looking at all the different things we can play with. And what we notice is when we go shopping and we bring stuff home, often we're out on an edge somewhere, you know, like it's like, well, I don't even know if I like that. Well, I don't know if I like that either. Well, great, let's get one, you know, and maybe we'll hate it. And what we've noticed is it's never money wasted. Even if it's a toy we only use once or an outfit we only use once, it's never money wasted. Even just the silliness of trying something and not liking it still brings us closer together. Yeah. I want to take a short break. Speaking of toys and things, I want to say that actually the last place we went was my newest sponsor, AdamandEve.com. We went shopping and we had a great time and you can too. So I'm about to take a break and listeners, please listen to the sponsors. And as I say, go to my episode pages and you can find all kinds of deals for some of this stuff so you can revitalize your relationship also. Also want to remind you, if you want to give me feedback, if you want to let me know how the shows are going or you want to suggest guests, you can always reach me at chip@personallifemedia.com. That's all one word, personallifemedia.com. I do read all my mail and I do respond to most of it. So please, if you have some good ideas for me, I'd like to hear them. And if you have some suggestions or comments about the show, I'd like to hear those too. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Do you suffer from BSL? Ah, yes, boring sex life, an all too common problem. Well, at BetterSex.com, we have just what the doctor ordered. Here's our prescription. Get our latest adult education DVD, 32 Ways to Please Your Lover. But get it now. We change offers often. Heal your sex life. Use promo code FREE32 to get your 32 Ways DVD free at BetterSex.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I've been talking to Celeste and Danielle, and we've been talking about singles and couples and how to get desire and how to rekindle desire and how to find desire. And I want to kind of move from where we were to talking a little bit about sex and aging, because I know for a lot of my listeners, and certainly for me, as I've aged, my sexuality has changed. I don't think I ever really imagined that there would ever be a time that my erection wasn't solid to bursting, you know, like most of the day. And then here I am in my 50s, and if I've had a little too much to drink, or there's a little too much stress in my life, or there's unspoken business between my partner and I that I haven't really dealt with, maybe, you know, I thought I was ready, and wow, nothing's happening. And I have women who come back to me and say, well, I just don't lubricate. I just don't. It just doesn't happen. And I don't even know if I'm really turned on or not. So I want to talk about sex and aging. And I don't really know what I want to ask, except do you have advice about it? Or, you know, how do I find that child when really my body's acting like an old man's body? You know, that's the question, really.
So we do have, you know, our bodies indeed change. And I think, you know, in some of the stuff that women experience, for example, is, you know, like reduction of lubrication, but also change in the pattern of arousal and orgasmic response. And I do want to say that we have, you know, like women have different orgasmic response in every day of the month, in every moment of a sexual encounter. So it's not only about aging. But I think again, like, the theme is not looking at sex as something that is the same all the time, you know? And if you expect sex to be the same, the, you know, like, the same as it was when you were started to have sex, you're probably going to be very disappointed, and you miss a wonderful ride that you can experience if you just open yourself to the possibility of the change and, you know, celebrating it. So people do, you know, have changes in the way that they respond to sexually, and just taking them as they go and noticing, oh, that means I need more stimulation now. Oh, that means I need more foreplay. Oh, I need a lubricant, you know, or a vibrator or whatever it is, and start incorporating it into your relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's almost like a Buddhist concept, right? It's not that the body is changing. It's that we're attached to it not changing that gives us pain, you know? And I do have so many men come into my office and say, but like, you know, I used to be get a hard on right away, and now it takes me longer. And I'm like, yep, you used to be 20, and now you're 35, you know? And sometimes just knowing that, okay, that's totally normal. I mean, I think some people just don't realize that it's normal that our body changes, that our sexual response changes, that we need different things. And I have to say, you know, I think it's a gift, actually, that, you know, maybe you can't get an erection in 3 minutes, because then sex can take much longer, and you can have this whole other journey that you didn't even know was possible. And when you build up that level of sexual energy in your body, because you're taking the time that your body needs to actually get aroused, you can have way higher orgasms, different orgasms, just different whole body experiences than you have ever had when you could just like get it up and get it over with. So, you know, I think it makes a really big difference. And I know, you know, my own body and my own sexuality has changed in terms of, like, I, you know, used to be much more interested in clitoral stimulation, and now I have this whole G-spot thing happening. And, you know, so it's like sometimes women might lose something in one place and they don't realize there's a whole world out there that they can gain somewhere else. And we work with women a lot on those kinds of changes with their body too.
At our men's workshop, we teach men how to give a woman amazing wild sex without even taking their clothes off, which is, like, you know, like a very new concept for many men, because they're so relying on their cock as something that's going to satisfy a woman. But many times that's not what women want. They don't even dare to admit it many times, but that's not what they want. And then there is, like, so much more that you can do with your mouth, with your hands, with the way you look at her actually makes a difference. So,
yeah, I was hoping you'd say something about that, because I don't... part of my hormones and part of my be a man training is that my manhood and my sex is my dick. My life experience is that my erogenous zone starts at the bottom of my feet and ends at the top of my head, and maybe actually extends beyond all that. And my sadness is sex has become a piece of skin and a piece of skin, wiggle, 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 pop, and then have a cigarette, you know, and that I'm really clear that there are some extraordinary sexual experiences that I've had and that I'm going to have that actually have nothing to do with my dick. They have nothing to do with my partner's pussy. That sex is much bigger than just our genitals. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's whole different levels of satisfaction to be had when you don't just focus on orgasm and, you know, putting one genital inside the other.
So if listeners wanted to get in touch with you guys, if they want to take classes from you, if they want to study with you, if they want to get trainings or coaching, how do they get in touch with you?
So you want to go to www.celesteanddanielle.com. Let me spell that out for you. It's CelesteanDanielle.com. And you can also call 415-336-3258. We would love to hear from you.
And we'll put that link and that phone number on the episode page. Listeners, do visit the episode page. There's all kinds of stuff there. So if you just go to personallifemedia.com and then look for Sex, Love, and Intimacy, you will find this episode. It'll be titled under their name, Celeste and Danielle. And you'll find all kinds of good stuff, including the links there and including some offers. And I want to say that the way the show grows more than any other way is that if you hear something you like, send a link to a friend, you know, say, wow, my husband should hear that. My girlfriend should hear that. And send the link. And that's how we grow. And we would like to grow. We'd like to reach more people. We think we have something really valuable to say. And we think more people would enjoy hearing it. Also, there are transcripts of the shows. And I once asked my producer, why do we actually transcribe every show? What's the value? She said, well, when she hears something she really likes, she goes back to the transcript, she cuts it, she pastes it, and then she prints it out and puts it like on her computer. Or she'll hear something that she wanted her husband to hear, and she'll cut it out, and she'll just send that phrase, you know, hey, I heard this on this show. Here's the link to the show. but she'll cut out just those words. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. So listeners, if you haven't ever done that, you might want to just notice when we say something you like, you can go find those words and actually cut them and send them to other people or have them for yourself. As we draw to the end of the show, I always like to ask my guests, what can someone do to improve the love, intimacy, and sexuality in their life? And we talked about this on the break, and Danielle, you had an idea.
Sure. So many people kind of think that they know how their partner like to be touched, and that's the biggest mistake you have. So I'm inviting you to begin exploring and finding new ways of touching. So take... set aside like half an hour if you want some nice music that you love. Candles always help, flowers, whatever you feel like, a little wine. And then sit in front of each other, look at each other's eyes, and then close your eyes. And take turns and allow one person to begin touching just the hands of the other person. And really focus on different kinds of messages or communication that you want to tell them. You can tell with your hands, oh, you're so nice. So you can tell with your hands, oh, I really want you now. You know, so try to communicate with your hands different kinds of messages and through your touch. And then, you know, like invite your partner to give you some feedback and, you know, like make some time that is quiet with no feedback, and then invite your partner to notice if they notice a difference in the way you touch them, and kind of like talk about what kind of touch they liked and or preferred, or what they like in the beginning and later, and then switch.
I would add to that, if it's going really well, here's the next step. Okay. So, this is a great thing to do. Tell your partner one way that they touch you that you really like them to touch you. Have your partner do that, and then think of one way you would like them to touch you that they haven't touched you yet, and just kind of go back and forth. Okay, one thing you do, I love it when you touch me this way. Oh, God, it's great. And one thing I'd like, I think, would you try this? You know, and just notice on top of the thing that Danielle just said, just notice how much we can learn each other's bodies. And I definitely want to say to couples, we have this story that we're supposed to already know. We have this story we're supposed to know, and so we get mad. The person says to us, "Well, I'd like this," and I've had couples in my office say, "You know, I asked my partner for this, and my partner refused because my partner told me I didn't like it." You know, no, I tried that on you years ago. You didn't like it. I didn't. And so I just want to say this idea that we think we know really gets in the way of actually having the experience we want to have. We're better off not knowing. I have been amazed. My partner and I, we've talked about this, where there's something that we tried earlier in our relationship. It didn't go very well, or we didn't like it. And then one of us will mention it, and, you know, we'll have that moment of, well, I wonder if we'd like it today, you know? And I can't tell you how many of those things that we thought we liked, we didn't like then, we do like now, and also things that we did like then that we're ready to be done with, you know, move on. So, yeah.
Many times it's not only about the touch, it can also be the quality of your presence. And if you kind of like, you know, like bring yourself fully, or just like, you know, like run your hand there, makes a real difference.
Yeah, all of which are great games to play. So do this at home. If you're driving right now, this is probably not the right moment to do this, okay? But do this at home. Danielle, Celeste, thank you again. Both programs have been great. I think you guys are really great interviews. I really love what you teach. I like getting your, I guess it's a monthly newsletter I think I get from you guys, and really appreciate having you on the show. Thanks.
Thank you, Chief. It was really fun.
Thank you. I had a great time.
We've come to the end of another episode of Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you'll tune in again to our next show.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.